I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 23, and let's read the first three verses, and then we'll get down to the passage that we'll be covering today. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we get ready to start looking at verse number 4 today, we pray that you will help us to be a sheep that follows the shepherd. And I pray that you will help us to realize that that's the way God wants it. And if we follow him, we're going to have the best of care and the best of places to be. And we pray that you will just help us to understand that in our lives. And we pray for Jill right now that's not feeling real well since she had a fall. We pray that there's nothing broken, that everything will be all right. And also help Goble because he was coughing this morning some in the Sunday school lesson, and I know that he's not totally well either. So we pray that you'll be with them. And there's others in the church that are suffering physically. We pray that you'll help each one of them. And we also pray that you'll hear and answer our prayers concerning all the prayer requests on our prayer sheet. And now as we focus on the scriptures for a few moments this afternoon, we pray that you'll help us to understand that relationship we have with the Lord Jesus and him as our shepherd and us as a sheep. We'll give you praise for it because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have an interesting text today in that, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And it seems as though this verse is, kind of painting a dark picture a little bit, because it talks about the shadow of death, and that kind of jumps out at you when you read the verse. And we must be reminded that we're speaking of the shadow of death, but not death itself. It's the shadow of death. And there are times that we're, we come to situations and we say, "Oh my, this seems to be a dark place. This seems to be, an uncomfortable place." But I want you to realize that if we are walking in the path that the Lord wants us to walk in, that we have the best of protection and he's going to take care of us. And that's one thing we have to keep in mind. Actually, Psalm 23 and Psalm 1 have some similarities. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but they do. Both of these psalms are 6 verses long. And not only that, but verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 1 discusses the blessed man. And verses 4 to 6 of Psalm 1 discusses the ungodly. When we look at Psalm 23, there's a shift in things at verse number 4. I don't know if you really saw it, but in the first 3 verses, the sheep, and David would be a sheep in that case because, the Lord is my shepherd, David is saying. And he's boasting about the excellent care of his shepherd. And it is as though the sheep is talking to someone else. But when you get to verse number 4, you find out that it changes a little bit. Because in verse number 4 it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for thou art with me." And you see that word thou a few times in verses 4, 5, and 6. So who he was talking to in the first three verses, I'm not sure, but he's given a testimony of his shepherd's care. In these last verses, he's being more personable as far as the shepherd is concerned, if you see that. And you see these pronouns, thou and thy, a few times in these last three verses. Thou preparest a table, thou anointest my head with oil, and so forth. And thou art with me. And that's what we see here. Now, in some parts of the world, sheep are moved quite a distance for part of their grazing, part of the year, because some places, the way the climate is and the temperature is, the pastures that are in the lowlands get dry and sparse, whereas during those hot times, then the sheep or the animals are moved to meadows and valleys that are in higher elevations where there's water and where the grass is still green and the sheep can have something to eat. So they change. They take them to different places. Now, I've not been a shepherd. I mean, other than keeping a pastor's goats one time for 3 weeks, and I was glad the day came that that was finished, because goats are a little different from sheep. Both of them need care. And with dogs around, you've got to take care of them. But I did keep bees. I was a beekeeper, and it was quite a learning process. And I learned how not to get stung, okay? Because keeping bees, if you get them upset a little bit, they start, using that little stinger they've got in the back, and they'll sting you. So, but when it comes to animals, they change pastures, and they change altitudes as well in some parts of the world. Now, usually sheep will be led or walked to some distant pastures. And in those summer months, the shepherd and the sheep, when they're in the pastures that are away from civilization, the shepherd kind of stays closer because it's out in the country and it's out where wild animals are. It's out where the unknown is. And so in these high pastures, the shepherd would have to be a careful watcher because of what could happen to the sheep. Do you remember in the scriptures in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17, how Samuel was sent by God to anoint the one who was to follow Saul as king? You remember the story? Well, God had not chosen the firstborn, and all of his older brothers were passed over, and it ended up being David that Samuel chose, according to God's direction. And he was the reason he wasn't there when he came to anoint the next king was because David was out on the hillsides being a shepherd to the sheep that his father had. So he had to send for him. And of course, there were some issues in relation to that. He was the baby brother. And yet, the baby brother was the one that God wanted to lead his people. And Jesse, thought that the firstborn would be the one. I mean, he was the oldest, he was the smartest, he was, he had all the credentials, he thought, and yet it ended up being David. And that helps me to realize that I've been able to do things not because I was the smartest or the most gifted, but because God chose me, and he's the one that placed me where I did things for him. And sometimes the ones that have all the talent are the ones that feel they can deal with things themselves and they can make their own decisions, and they don't want God to make their decision, and then they end up not doing as well in life. David came, and he was the one that was anointed. And during those weeks, up in the hillside, David played the harp. Now, I tried to learn an instrument, and when I would practice, my children would laugh. They'd go in the bedroom and laugh because I was playing my instrument. And we had a pastor that he played the trombone. And he said probably the best day in his life was the day that he backed the car out of the garage and ran over his own trombone. And, you know, he never played it again. I didn't do that with my trumpet, but anyway, I never was an accomplished trumpet. Trumpeter. David was a great one. If you can take care of sheep, then you can take care of people. Okay? Because sheep don't know their way, and a lot of times people don't know their way. And it's the same thing. And we are God's sheep. Okay? So, along the way, between the pasture lands in the valleys and the pasture lands up in the little meadows and such up in the higher country, there's a lot of things that can be dangerous. You could have wild animals. You can have fast-moving water in the streams. You can have different kinds of poisonous things that the sheep might want to eat that's not good for them. And the shepherd has to watch for all of these types of things to make sure that that the sheep are well taken care of. And in Psalm 23, verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." You see, one of the songs that we sing, Amazing Grace, has a stanza in it where it says, "Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." You see, we have some of our hymns that really help us realize these things, and people have put them to music. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 7 to 9, the Bible says this, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, if you desire to be saved from the toils and the dangers and the snares of this world, then you really need to look at Jesus Christ as personal Savior, and then learn to learn what the Scriptures have to say, and follow in the footsteps of the Holy Spirit, so that you bypass many of these things that will snare people in life. And it's the best way to go. There's no better way. Another hymn that I think of when I think of the psalm, this psalm here, is Higher Ground. Isn't this what we desire in the Christian life? Don't we desire to live a more Christ-honoring life this coming year than we did this past year? Don't we desire to, to live on the mountaintop instead of down in the valley? And usually you think of the mountaintop as, victories on your side, whereas down in the valley you're facing things that can give you trouble. And this hymn, Higher Ground, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. You see, we don't get out of the out of the scope of where that can happen, but with God's help, maybe we can be spared many of these darts. And Lord, lead me on to higher ground. And so this is a really good hymn for us to sing, and it shows how our shepherd really helps us. Many years ago, my wife became very sick, and I was away on a speaking engagement. I was in a different country, and for a few weeks, because of that illness, I walked through the valley. There was shadows, you see. Not that my wife would die, but the fact that she was very sick, and I had all the children at home, plus all my responsibilities, plus all the teaching, everything that I did, everything had to continue going on. And we all missed her at the house. And the children still talk about some of the meals I prepared. I remember one Sunday we came home from church, and of course, you know, with four children, and I had to make sure they got ready, and had to feed them in the morning, and they had to be at the church, and all that went with that, and you come back home, the meal wasn't ready, so I had to get something ready. And so I looked in the refrigerator, and I thought, now what am I going to do, because the children are hungry, and they need to be fed. And so I pulled some things out of the refrigerator, and I looked in the shelves, and I found some different things, and I started mixing up a meal. And my youngest daughter came in, Kimberly. She came in, and I was doing this on top of the stove, and I was trying to be quick with it. We had some food that had been prepared not long before, and so I was just going to fix it up, you know. So she came in and she said, "Dad, what are we having today?" I said, "Well, we're having stovetop casserole. That's where you put different things in the pot, and you warm it up, and maybe lay a layer of cheese over the top of it, and it becomes a casserole. And because I'm hungry, I need to eat now. I didn't even put it in the oven. I just put it right on the burner and heated it all up and got it good and hot, and the cheese melted down. That was before the days of microwave. And microwave has really improved things for my cooking. But I just want you to realize that sometimes you can have these situations in your life. Many years ago now, we went through a dark valley of death. Even after several weeks of problems with pregnancy of our second son, Jonathan Mark, we thought we had reached a new plateau at his birth. And we were happy with our second son. But suddenly the Lord saw fit to take Jonathan on to heaven. And the Lord helped us with our sadness, for we knew Jonathan just went ahead of us and went on to heaven. That probably was the hardest funeral I ever preached in my life, when I preached the funeral for my own son. You see, disappointments and frustrations and discouragements, the dark, difficult days, through shadowed valleys, need not be disasters. They can be the road to higher ground in our walk with the Lord. And I want you to realize that being a sheep in God's flock has some times when things may seem a little dark, but it's just the shadow of death. It's not death itself. Even though maybe some of those shadows and some of those hard times, there's death involved of another person. Sheep are taken to the mountain plateaus through the valleys. And they're taken through the valleys for a couple different reasons. One is, it's the easiest way to the mountaintop. To go up the path that, you know, the least resistance, you know, the easiest way to get up there. It may take a little longer, but it's the path that the sheep can take. The reason the sheep have to take a path like that is because, they may have young lambs with them, and so they can't just go right straight up the cliff wall. They have to go up the easier path, and it takes a little longer, but they do get to the top. And Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The valley pass reminds us of the way between earth and heaven. It's always going to higher altitude. Men down through the ages have sought for ways to reach God other than through Jesus Christ. These ways would include church membership or baptism or penitence and the saying of prayers. And we always try to come up with our way of doing things. But the thing is, if we look in the Word of God, God describes the way that we can get to Him. And it's not a hard way. It's really an easy way. When I trusted Christ as my personal Savior, it was one of the easiest things I ever did in my life. One of the easiest. He's just a prayer away. It's not that far. It's just realizing that and admitting that this is something I have to do, you see. And there's salvation in none other than the Lord Himself. Now, to me, it seems terribly hard for a person to spend years of their life trying to gain heaven through good works, only to find out it's to no avail, that it doesn't work, you see. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. Jesus told the blind man in John chapter 9 and verse 5, I am the light of the world. He told Martha, whose brother was dead, in John 11:25 and 26, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said, Yea, Lord. And to the woman at the well, Jesus said in John chapter 4, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In other words, the water we get from from Jesus Christ is the water that we realize everybody needs to drink of that water. And we try to help them. What I'm trying to get you to understand that not every one of us passed through the valley of death. Salvation by faith in Christ is not just the easiest way. It's the only way. We can't get there any other way. That's it. And, when I was young, there was a little chorus we used. One door and only one, and yet the sides are two. Inside and outside, on which side are you? One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, on which side are you? You see, and that's the key to the whole thing. That's the key to the whole thing. I hope you're on the inside too, you see, in Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. So it's important that we are on the right side. And we're on the inside as far as Christ is concerned. Another reason the valley is the best way to get to the mountaintop is because it's the watered way. You go up the cliff sides, there's not much water out there. Once in a while you see a waterfall coming off of a cliff, but it's not very often. Most of the time you see the water running down the valley part of the ridges. And that's where it is. That's where the rivers and streams and quiet pools and springs are. And so the animals, being driven to higher ground, need to go that way. Think of the trials of a wayward child, the prolonged illness of a loved one, an unsaved mate, or personal physical ailments. Our spirits and souls need to be refreshed. The fact is that we can go through the valley experience and fear no evil because the shepherd is with us and he's leading and protecting us. And praise the Lord, we can have victory in him. And we do have these kind of things, but we have, what we need on our way. Another thing, the valley has the best food on the way to the mountaintop. If you go up the real steep areas and mountains, and especially when you get above the timberline, what they call the timberline, vegetation is very hard to find, any kind of vegetation, when you get above the timberline. And so the valley is the place where the shepherd could find food for the lambs and the sheep. And the valley may be narrow, the walls may be high, but the small meadows will be filled with grass so that the lambs and the sheep can find the grazing that they need. In the world, the battle is raging, but God's sheep can slip aside into a Bible-preaching church to find nourishment for their souls from the Word of God. I've been around a few places in the world, and one of the greatest blessings I find is when I stop in to a Bible-believing church and fellowship with the local believers, wherever I am. And this is one of the greatest encouragements that I have in my life. The sad thing is, sometimes we get so busy in life that we feel that the feeding we got 2 weeks ago is enough to get us by until next week. And it's really not true. We need to feed as often as we can, because our spirit needs to be fed just like our body needs to be fed. You know, if we would feed our spirit like we feed our body, it would be a different story, wouldn't it? Oh, yeah. Well, that's what God wants us to do, and he makes it available. And in this type, this age, the availability is so close, so close. Most of us hold it all the time. It's right there, and most of us have a Bible app on it. Yet we'll spend more time on Facebook or WhatsApp than we do on the Bible app. Hello? Are you still there? Oh, okay. We need to be fed. We need to be fed. You know, going through the valley will not cause fear if God is with you. If you're a Christian and you know God's working in your life, you're not afraid of things. You know, some people go to bed and then they lay there with their eyes open and looking up at the dark ceiling, and they can't sleep. Well, I'm not that way. I talk to the Lord, tell him take care of me, and when I lay down my head on the pillow, I go to sleep. And just ask my wife, she'll tell you so. And I think that's the way it ought to be done. But you see, the Lord is there. God's with me. The Holy Spirit is my paraclete. And he's my shepherd. He's taking care of me. And if I'm going to die in my sleep and go to heaven, well, praise the Lord. The paraclete was with me. Or if I wake the next day, well, praise the Lord, I've got another day to serve the Lord. You see, my Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. He's there. And it's a very satisfying experience to know that the Lord is present. But he's present when we're having trials in our life. He's present when we may be ill in life. He's present when we've got everything together. And that's very seldom, when we think we've got it together ourselves. But this is the only, it's only true for the Christian. It's not true for just everybody. And we need to realize that God wants to help us. He really wants to help us. The Christian has the Holy Spirit indwelling within. And therefore, you can say of every saved person, the Lord is there spiritually. You can say that. Being conscious of that fact will help you to go where you ought to go and do what you ought to do and say what you ought to say. What a comfort to know our shepherd is with us. And even if we pass through dangers and toils and snares, let him truly lead us, because he can lead us so that we can do that. When I was a child, my mother taught me a little prayer. This prayer went like this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And it seemed to help at bedtime when I was a child, a young child. But as I grew up, I realized that I needed God's presence and protection more than just at bedtime. So as an older child, I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Okay? And I know He's with me all the time. Even if I don't pray and ask Him to be there, He's there. In times like these, every person needs the Lord to help them with their walk through the valleys of the shadows of death. You know, the shadow of death. That doesn't talk, it doesn't mean death, but it's just the shadow of it. It's just we could be scared a little bit. But we won't be scared if we just realize, remember, the Lord's with you. The Lord's here. One time we were landing in a plane in St. Thomas. It was about a 20-seat plane, and it was a little commuter plane. And in St. Thomas, the airport, they get quite a bit of crosswind across the airport, the airstrip, the way that it's built. And we were coming in, and the wind was blowing, and the plane was doing this kind of thing, you know, and bouncing around. And there was a guy in the back. All of a sudden, he screamed out, I want to get out of here. Well, where was he going to go? You know, where was he going to go? 30 seconds later, the plane settled down on the runway. Everything was fine. And people clapped. Hey, listen, I knew it was going to be okay, regardless. If the plane crashed, I go to heaven. If it gets down safely, then I serve Him another day. Hey, listen, He's with you. He'll help you. But you need to rely upon Him, you see. And in John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said, now this is what Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So, my suggestion to you is, especially if you're a Christian, let the Lord lead you in your life and be your companion. Allow the Holy Spirit to, you know, walk in His steps. Don't walk in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Trust the Lord. He'll help you. And if you do that, then you'll fear no evil. There's evil out there. It's out there. The world has an evil, Satan-driven system. But even in an evil-driven system of a world, we can still feel safe because we have a shepherd that is walking with us. Okay? And he'll be with you. He'll help you. But you got to lean on him a little bit. Don't be afraid to ask the Lord to help you, because you need help. Sheep can't see very good. Their nose isn't very good. If they're not careful, they lose their way. And sometimes Christians do too. Trust in Him. Let Him be your shepherd. And He'll be with you. And He'll help you. And He'll guide you. And He'll comfort you. That's Scripture.